or relax.
Episode 40 of Drunk on Comics, featuring beer, the reason I get up each afternoon.
Hell yeah, I'm down for that. Wait, episode 40, does that mean, like, are we officially like a cougar now?
Yes, and we are drinking 40 ounces.
Well, I'll be drinking more than 40 ounces, I can guarantee that. So, hey guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is our podcast about comic books, conventions, all other kinds of nerdy fun.
Yes.
I like fun.
Yeah, and, you know, we like nuggets.
We like McBites.
fishy. Yeah, so, all right, well, my name's Derek.
Hi, I'm Kevin.
I'm the one and only Tony.
Thank God.
There are other Tonys, but yeah, you are the one and only Tony on this show.
Yeah, because you spell your name with two I's and three E's.
What?
Tony.
See, yeah, that would be the one way you would be the only Tony.
Well, yeah, that, there's like a number in there just randomly. So, so Kevin, what you drinking there?
Oh, man.
You're drinking enema juice.
Man, all right, so you're a fan of what, My Secret Obsession?
Or what was that obsession
like show called?
Addiction? My Strange Addiction.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I heard about that.
I've seen clips. Yeah, like see, now Kevin has a beer and a cup of coffee.
Yes, it's you know, two fists in it, baby.
Okay, well, by the way, for our listeners at home, when I was younger and just as dumb then as I am now, I worked at a coffee house during college.
I thought you were going to say you drink both of them side by side, and then I'd be kind of insulted.
Well, close. We decided to try and make a stout beer at the coffee house, and we had PBR, and we decided just to add a shot of espresso to it to see how close we could get.
How is that?
Kind of disgusting. But hey, what the fuck? We're gonna do what we're gonna do, and it's not like we're gonna let that beer go to waste. Yeah. We're poor college kids.
So, of course, man, you're wise.
Yeah. Although one of the best things ever was, you know, we had like it's kind of like the slushy machine, you know,
you make a frozen concoctions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got snowed in one time, and our boss was cool enough just to let us stay there because, you know, a few of us lived off campus.
So you spent the night at work?
At the coffee house, yeah. Well, there was like couches and pool table, and like she sent us to the liquor store, gave us like $80. She gave me her fucking 4Runner.
So wait, you were able to get to liquor store but not home?
Well, I lived almost an hour away.
Oh.
And when she sent me, the snowstorm was just starting to come in. But there was no way that my little two-door sedan was going to make it. But she gives me the keys to her 4Runner, gives me $80, and says, go load up on whatever you guys, you know, want. She goes, just bring me the receipt. So, like, we got gallons of this, gallons of that, you know. We ended up getting drunk enough where we're like, we looked and saw, like, the one little slushy machine's getting kind of low. And we're like, well, fuck it. Let's just pour the vodka in there because we'll drink all that. You have no idea how much is in those things. We drank it all, though.
Man, was that place just trashed the next day?
No, we were actually really good. Like, but I'm pretty sure, though, that like when the morning crew came in at 6 to be open at 7, I think the smoke was still rolling out the door.
Back when we could smoke inside.
Yeah, that was sweet. So, should we get in off the shelf?
Yeah.
All right, well, off the shelf this week, once again, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con, which is happening May 17th through 19th in Novi, Michigan. Check them out at Motor City Comic Con. It's going to be at the Suburban Collection Showplace, or as we like to call it, the Showcase Showdown. found out the host hotel is going to be... I don't want to say now because it's the same place last year. Was it the Crown Plaza?
The Crown Plaza.
Yeah, it's going to be the Crown Plaza, you know, right over there. Details for the party have not come out yet, but I'm sure that will be awesome as well. You guys should definitely come check the show out because also you're going to be able to check us out there.
So, yeah, check us out.
Yeah, Stan Lee.
We're going to be performing live.
Three of the guys from Revenge of the Nerds.
Wait, who's the third guy? You got the two guys.
Well, you got Robert Carradine, yeah. who was Skolnick. You got Curtis Armstrong, who was
Booger. And I imagine those two were just going to be out there plugging their show.
Yeah,
which I don't know if it did good enough to be picked up for a second season or not.
You know, I don't know yet myself if it has or hasn't.
King of the Nerds? That's the show name, right?
Okay. Have you guys watched it yet?
Yeah, but, Lauren and I, we watched the whole season so far. The season finale is next week, I think.
Is it good?
It's enjoyable, though. You can't watch the fucking show live because it is honestly 30 minutes of show, 30 minutes it's of commercials.
I may be
exaggerating a little bit, but it's kind of cool because you're like, hey, you know what? They're just obviously big old nerds. I think they're just way smarter than all of us. Sorry, you got like NASA engineers and.
Well, anyway, the third nerd, to get back to your question, is Brian Tochi, who played Takashi.
Oh, yeah, the Chinese guy who wanted to see Bush.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, like here's a new one. Greg the Hammer Valentine is going to be.
Oh no way!
Yeah, Casper Van Dien from Starship Troopers is going to be there.
Is she going to be there?
Is who?
The Sheik?
No, I don't see him.
Is he still alive?
At the first.
Is he still alive?
I've never seen him at the show.
Yeah, he's never been there.
Oh, but that booth has always been there.
The guy that talks about the Sheik, but he isn't the Sheik.
Friend Brian Carbo.
Lauren Holly was announced this week. Walter Koenig, he was announced a while back for Star Trek People. Norman Reedus from Boondock Saints and Walking Dead. I mean, it's going to be hell yeah. I'm not even a wrestling fan, but I'm excited about this one. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Awesome.
Oh! Carrie Elway's from The Princess Bride, Lou Ferrigno. There's a shitload of people. Okay. That's just the media side. The comic book side is fucking awesome. So, anyway. So go check those guys out, MotorCityComicCon.com, and get the scoop on them. And, Tony, who wants to kick it off? You want to kick it off or you want me to?
No, you can go ahead, because I'm not ready yet.
You're still reading.
Hold on, I'm almost done. All right, while I take a sip of my beer here, it's all of a sudden I feel like an Elegant Weapon podcast. Hold on, I gotta flick my bick. I gotta take a chug of my beer. This week I have got Punisher Warzone number 5 of 5 from Marvel Comics, written by Greg Rucka. Art is by Carmine D. Giandomenico. Matt Hollinsworth did the colors, Joe Caramagna did the letters on this, and Marco Cicchetto did the cover. And the reason I wanted to talk, like, I know I talked about issue 1, and we briefly touched on, like, issue 3 here a while back, but this was kind of, this is the end of Greg Rucka's run on Punisher as a whole. They ended the Punisher run, I think, at issue 16, and then did this last 5-issue, you know, limited series or miniseries called Punisher Warzone, to finish out everything before he left Marvel. Basically, a little background on here. The Avengers think that Frank Castle has become a little too dangerous for his own good, so they decided it's either time to take him down, or in the case of Thor a few issues ago, go drink some beer with him and try and talk him down. And
the one problem I just have with that is, so the Punisher has come a little too dangerously, yet there's other superheroes. They're questionable in nature, but we can just let them go. Or bad guys, for that matter.
I mean, is he becoming, like, is he just shooting people at random?
Well, what happened was he got framed for killing a bunch of cops and civilians.
Okay.
And he didn't actually do it. He was set up. It was just made to look that way.
Okay.
He was there stopping the guy, and he did, but, yeah. So, now, they did actually catch and arrest Rachel Cole Alves, or as we've been referring to her, the Punisher. You know, okay. his little redheaded kind of sidekick.
Paramore.
Yeah. So she went to trial. Matt Murdock was her attorney, and apparently Matt Murdock sucked as an attorney because she got found guilty. So they were taking her off to prison, and I don't remember, honestly, if she was going to get the death sentence or if she was, or if it was just going to be life in prison. But
she's going to get punished.
Her. But yeah, so, they, like, Frank wants to bust her out. And so...
Yeah, he does.
Really? It's your turn this week, apparently. So anyway, he wants to break her out. How about that?
Yeah, he does.
Good God. All right. Anyway, he goes... But the cool thing is like, he actually sneaks into Stark Tower... Manages to get past the defenses, knocks out Tony Stark, like tapes him up, ties him up, and steals some of the Iron Man armor.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, and that was in issue 4, and they've got this whole thing set up because they're like, we know Frank's gonna come and try and catch her, blah blah blah. It's a whole sting. He puts people there. He manages to get her. It's cool. They get away. So that's kind of your background. Now this issue, Tony's pissed off because he got kind of sucker punched.
Yeah, he got robbed.
Yeah, you have all of the Avengers going after him. The whole thing about this issue is that Frank is trying to get Rachel out of the country. That's all it is, and so he's got Wolverine helping him on the backside, which is, even though Wolverine's part of the Avengers, he was never in agreement with bringing the Punisher down. So, oh, hell yeah. Pump that jam, triple this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's inevitable whenever we do this. Somebody's phone's going.
Yeah, I've been good for last week.
You've been good for a couple, haven't you? Or no, was it the week before?
No, I got a text message.
You know what I love is we have the power of editing, yet...
We choose don't care.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's all organic, man.
It's all natural.
I need some patchouli because, that's a side note. Patchouli smells good for like 1 second, and then it just smells like dirty hippie. But anyway,
patchouli sucks my balls.
Like,
man.
It smells good for like 1 second. What is it? Oh, that's dirty.
No, the only thing good about patchouli is saying that name.
Okay, so anyway, back to the Punisher.
Get back to the war.
Yeah, the war zone.
So, you know, sounds like if he's stealing Tony Stark's shit, sounds like...
Sounds like he found a hidden treasure?
Yeah, goddamn. Sorry, I'm sorry, guys. Our professional podcast thingy is...
Hey, we're award-winning for a reason. So... All right, so anyway, Wolverine helps get Rachel out of there, and just long enough where Punisher basically just stands there waiting for the Avengers to come after him and just take him down, and he goes to war against the Avengers. Shoots Tony Stark in his Iron Man costume in the face with, like, a shitload of bullets. He manages to kind of, like... thwart everybody else, like rigging explosives, and he shoots Spider-Man in the gut with a shotgun. And I'm like, when he did that, I was like, how can he do that and not kill him? Well, finally, he basically staged the fight and held on long enough to allow Rachel enough time to get away, is what he did. He just took the whole thing, went down. And, like, she made a comment in here, something along the lines of, you know, you can't give up just for me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, this was never, he goes, this war, this fight was never about the man. It was about the reason behind it. So basically telling her she needs to go on. If he can't fight, he needs her to continue in his place. So they do catch him. They put him, like, in this, they put him in, what do they call it, the bone, which is this, like, cell created just for him, which is 500 meters below Lake Michigan. And they've got it all set up so that he can't escape, blah, blah, blah. But they talk about it, that everything that he did, like, he shot Thor in the face using one of Spider-Man's little web shooters that he'd stolen from him. Spider-Man's pissed about that. He's like, damn it, you shot him in the face with my webs. Not that I haven't thought about doing that myself. But it was just, it was a great story for him to kind of, like, just pass the torch. But they talked about how, like, everything that he did, his 9mm wasn't even loaded. He had rubber bullets or rubber pellets in the shotgun The only time he shot real bullets was at Tony Stark, knowing that it wouldn't actually hurt him. So he basically just created a big enough diversion, and I thought it was awesome. In the end, then, they show Los Angeles, and woman's getting mugged, and all of a sudden, a couple gunshots, and the guys, the muggers, are shot in the head, the neck, and they're down. And you see Rachel helping up the woman who was getting mugged, wearing her Punisher logo.
Okay.
So, you know, it was just a fantastic ending to the Greg Rucka run. I wanted to give a lot of credit because I hadn't been reading Punisher for years, and even then it was very sporadic. I did pick up one or two issues here, an issue there. And Greg Rucka pulled me back into how awesome this character can be, and this was a fantastic ending to the story. I think people could pick up this series not knowing anything and really enjoy it. So, two mugs up on this book, two mugs up on the whole Warzone series and all of Greg Rucka's run on Punisher. I'm thrilled.
So, So this was the limited series, Warzone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nightmare was a limited series.
Nightmare is completely separate.
Yeah. Well, so is there a tie-in between Warzone and... Did they even make Punisher?
No. Well, currently, no. Not right now.
Comic book named Punisher.
No, it ended at issue 16 when Rucka left, and then they went right into Warzone.
Okay.
And then this was the end. So now, obviously, there's... And they were mentioning something in the letters page that, you know, kind of keep your eyes out. What they said was, you know, you can get more Frank Castle and Thunderbolts. And Steve Wacker, the editor, said, I've also heard rumblings down the hall for some more plans in the near future for him. So keep your eyes to the ground, blah, blah, blah. There's a potential, obviously. Punisher can always get out. But, yeah, the Thunderbolts and this don't necessarily tie in continuity-wise, mm-hmm. but fantastic. So go pick it up, guys. Good book. Kevin, what'd you read?
Comic books.
Yeah?
Some good ones, too.
I see Aquaman. Prove it.
Man, see, I think...
You need to get over the hate. I've grown to... No, I'm on Aquaman's side now.
No. I'm throwing this out to
the masses.
No, to DC, man. Because you guys been dogging DC lately.
No, we've been loving Batman.
Yeah. Everyone is throwing out a little bit of love for Batman, but not much love for the rest of the superheroes.
Aquaman I tried reading, I couldn't get into it. Green Lantern, I am hit and miss on.
I mean, yeah, the Third Reich was just an amazing story.
But I don't know if you guys are driving me to this, but every time I'm reading DC comic lately, mainly pertaining to their core of superheroes, I'm emotionally brought in to these characters. So I'm going to do a couple quick reviews because
speed round.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Is this like beat the clock on Price is Right?
There's a contest.
Well, is like
called Beat the Clock?
Is that what it's called? The one where like they have to guess the price of the item,
and then higher, lower.
Yeah, and they always like 640, 641, 642, 643, 644, 645. Ding, ding, ding.
So this is kind of like that, except for no prices at all and really no clock. So yeah.
And no prizes. except for the prize that is you telling us about the comics.
Yes. Yeah, me reviewing comics is absolutely priceless. So Aquaman 17 is what I picked up, and this is actually this is the end of the Throne of Atlantis story arc, and which was a great run between Justice League and Aquaman, and I guess in a roundabout way, I'm going to just review the throne, tie up the Throne of Atlantis, because I'd say art's good, Story's great, blah, blah, blah.
Let's give a little credit here, though.
It's Jeff Johns. He's been...
He writes everything.
Yeah, he does. And if I recall from the news article, he's still going to be doing Aquaman.
He's just giving up Green Lantern.
Yeah, which is good. He focused. You don't want the man getting burned out. Paul Pelletier. Pencils, Sean Parsons, Rod Reese, inkers and colors. But there was an emotional response that was triggered, actually, in these books. Because you have Aquaman, took down his brother, who was the king of Atlantis. And he handed him over to the authorities on the dry world, and I don't know why this guy is responsible for killing hundreds of people, billions of dollars in damage, but yet he gets sent off to prison, and I don't know if I'm feeling sympathy for him. I don't know if sympathy is the right word, but he gets thrown into the slammer, and I almost feel bad for him. And that's kind of I haven't had an emotional response to a comic book like that in a while.
So Aquaman's brother, you feel bad for?
Yeah, absolutely. But of course, yeah, he did all these things. He should be in prison. But I don't know. There's just something about how the progression of the defeat during the battle to. Him being apprehended to him actually going to prison. There's something about that.
That's really interesting because, I mean, it's hard, and that actually speaks volumes to me about Jeff Johns' writing.
Yeah.
That you can elicit some real empathy for the bad guy in the comic.
Yeah. Does his brother have the same powers as him?
They don't really, I don't know much about his brother. He just seemed like a really badass fish guy. So, but I don't know. He probably could do the whoop, 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 some of the fish. Actually, there's some really cool splash. Whoop, 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 whoop. and then Justice League 17. This was actually the week prior. Jeff Johns, Ivan Reis, Paul Pelletier.
Pretty much the same crew.
Yeah, same crew. The excellent splash pages.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that is actually really, really cool.
Yeah, these books are really nice, and it's a nice transition. As this story arc concludes, to really lay down what's going to happen in the future for Aquaman, which is he's decided to go back, basically end his run at the Justice League, and he's gonna be king of Atlantis again. So. Interesting enough that I've already started subscribing to Aquaman on a monthly basis now.
Wow! See, and the thing is, I actually enjoy picking on Aquaman,
dude. He's
it's not that I hate Aquaman, but he's fun to pick on.
Well, I mean, how many butts of jokes has he been on this podcast alone?
Well, I mean, look at Big Bang. He's there's another perfect example. He's always getting ripped on. But
though I want that. You remember that Halloween episode where they had that costume where he has a seahorse around his abdomen?
I want to see you wearing that so bad.
I would totally do that.
I think Aquaman's got a few more power sets than Namor. Yet Namor's badass.
Well, yeah. I think Namor's more badass because of the attitude.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. Imperius Rex and all.
Yeah.
And he's got little wings on his feet.
Yeah. And fly.
Yeah, that sucks. He can never wear boots. So he can't get them over his ankles. I I've said it before. The hard part for me on DC Comics is... really just...
They're
gods.
They're too godly for you.
Yeah. It's hard for me to have that human connection with their characters.
Yeah, they're not flawed like humans.
Not as flawed.
But, I mean, Superman and Wonder Woman, they're gonna have an emotional bump. Just like the rest of us.
Is she going to have a baby bump? Were they seeing canoodling?
He is. I think they've said that, though. She is the only one that can
carry his kid to full term, because otherwise it'll kick through her uterus. Yep.
You know, so I was thinking about this. Now, at the end of... and actually I read it for the first time. If you guys... at the end of a lot of these DC comics, they have this section called Channel 52.
Yeah.
Have you guys been reading this at all?
I have,
It's funny. It's just like a gossip rag for what's been going on in the other books. And actually, I've been skipping through, because I thought it was just a preview for another comic that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
But... Then I actually read it, and I'm like, oh, this is, I think, an ongoing thing.
That's kind of clever, I gotta admit. Like, cause, I've just skipped it.
Yeah, it's just a funny attempt to kind of round up what's happening in the DC world from an outside perspective.
Well, and it's a nice way, too, of kind of giving yourself a little extra advertising to maybe get people to pick up another title that they hadn't thought of before, so... Cool.
Yeah. So anyway.
So I'm guessing your grading scale is pretty good on these.
Oh,
Tony, what'd you pick up?
I got Guardians of the Galaxy number 0.1.
0.1.
Yes. And as
it's after zero and before.
So was there a zero?
No, it says number 0.1. You could just say it's 0.1, but I wanted to include the full title to get everyone to understand the importance.
That's hashtag 0.1.
Yeah. Pound side, get it right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anyways, this story written by Brian Michael Bendis, who is fucking writing everything that is awesome in the Marvel world right now.
Liar.
No, how so?
There are other people that are writing awesome stuff in the Marvel Universe.
But he is writing some of the awesomest of awesome.
Well, you can say everything he's writing is awesome.
Yeah, is awesome. That's
but
true.
You can't say that everything that's awesome in the Marvel Universe he's writing.
Semantics, whatever. The pencils were done by Steve McNiven, inker John Dell, and colors Justin Ponser, which they also did the cover art as well. Which cover art is pretty badass. It gives the sense of what it's going to be about. You have an adult Peter Quill there and what looks like his former self. Ultimately, this book came out of Brian Michael Bendis when they talked about it months ago of bringing Guardians of the Galaxy back to the Marvel Universe. They had those 0.1 books that came out that had a few little teasers for different books that were little side stories. This was originally supposed to be an 8-page story, and it was going to be just a quick flashback to him as a child. They've never actually explored it really in the other books of Guardians of the Galaxy beforehand, and Brian Michael Bendis just wanted to kind of see who this character was. From that, he got so enamored with who this character was and how he turned out to be what he is that the 8 pages turned into 28 pages. And instead of having this just be put in one of those 0.1 books, they're like, well, let's throw it in there as the starting of Guardians of the Galaxy.
It can be its own 0.1.
Yeah, it could be its own 0.1, which is kind of great. So obviously this whole book revolves around Peter Quill. It doesn't really get to the Guardians of the Galaxy till the end of the book.
Okay, I don't mean to interrupt this, but flip that page up a little bit just so I can see. Is that like his dad or something there down at the bottom?
No, that's just the principal. Oh, okay. What you're seeing. Ultimately,
yeah, the reason that it drew me, and it has nothing to do with anything, but it the drawing of that guy looks like Dabney Coleman. I don't know if anybody knows who Dabney Coleman is.
No.
Okay. Actor from a long time ago.
Ultimately, it starts off with Peter's mom talking on the phone with her mom about her boyfriend leaving her and a spaceship crashing. And that's Peter Quill's father. He's one of the royal lineage of Spartax. So he's an alien, but pretty much these aliens pretty much look more human-like. Looks almost just like the adult Peter Quill.
They look total human.
Yeah. I mean, there's other races out there that aren't Shi'ar or Skrull-looking. So this whole thing is she was like, get the hell out of here. He's like, I gotta fix my spaceship. So over the months that it takes for him to get back out there, they kind of have a romantic relationship because she's hiding him from government or anyone coming about. And then he ultimately leaves. She wants to get off of Earth, go with him, but he's telling her there's a huge space battle going on and that would be wrong of him to bring her. When he leaves, she finds out she's pregnant. In pops in a couple years later, a young Peter Quill who pretty much is like, you know, kind of rebellious, but a good kid. Loves his mom. They live out in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. He's reading comic books about space adventures. Goes through sticking up for a kid that's getting picked on by the bully, which is when that principal comes out and stops him from getting a fight. Ultimately, the Badoon. Have you heard of them before?
No.
Yeah. Hell
yeah. Yeah. They're... Besides the Skrulls...
I haven't heard of Badoon in a long time.
There's Kree, Skrulls, Shi'ar, and Badoon are the four big space alien-type things.
Do they show what they look like in there?
Yeah. They look kind of like the aliens on from the movie.
Okay, yeah, I do know them. Okay.
In the original Guardians of the Galaxy comic books, had nothing to do with this series, with Rocket Raccoon, anything. It was about... a future timeline of where the Badoon took over and this team of heroes were fighting against them. So this kind of has to go with the whole storyline mythos of the book. Ultimately, these people come down to stop the lineage of the royal lineage of Spartax. They end up shooting his mom and killing her. He sees this, goes up into her room and finds his father's gun, which was left behind, and...
It's like a ray gun, though.
Yeah. Ultimately, everyone thinks that the house just blew up, gas line. They don't know that there's aliens that attacked. Fast forward to now, it explains how his whole life he's been doing anything but to get out into outer space. He became a NASA astronaut to get out into space so that he can ultimately defend space, but also get revenge on the fuckers that killed his mom. The last panel kind of shows him saying, I'm going to do anything I can to protect Earth. And Tony Stark's like, excellent, that's exactly what I want to hear. Already they have the team assembled, so ultimately you can see that Tony Stark is kind of fronting the Guardians of the Galaxy as what seems like stopping threats from outer space from hitting Earth. So ultimately that's going to mean Thanos coming, maybe if Galactus comes to Earth, they're going to kind of be tied into those stories.
Do Guardians of the Galaxy work at all with S.W.O.R.D.?
They haven't because, and this is the what I'm going to be loving getting into this book, they've never really been Earth, around Earth.
Okay.
They've stopped in on Earth, but ultimately they've been in other parts of the galaxy, you know, warring on different planets. So it's going to be interesting if they do work with S.W.O.R.D. I can only imagine they do.
And for listeners at home, S.W.O.R.D., if you're not familiar, it's like this kind of intergalactic police thing. I think it stands for like, super wow organization of like real damage, something like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So,
it's like the universal shield kind of thing.
I'm just sitting here wondering, like, is it called S.W.O.R.D. or is it pronounced funny, like S.W.O.R.D.?
S-words.
S.W.O.R.D.
Take S-words from
so, Trebek. Next, they're going to actually have the full Guardians of the Galaxy, and I can't wait to see that, but I'm also very hoping that this has continuity still. That's my number one gripe with comic books is when you had all that shit in the past happen. Obviously, Marvel hasn't had a reboot. And the last known of the Guardians of the Galaxy was they were on the other side of the universe battling Annihilation War. And they kind of got broke up and Star-Lord was stuck in a different dimension. If they just kind of gloss over that, it kind of makes you say, why the fuck was I reading any of those comics? So,
well, and you know, and one of the reasons that, speaking of continuity, one of the reasons I've always been more of a Marvel fan is that they typically have stuck better to continuity than some of the other, you know, well, at least compared to DC, I should say. You know, so, I don't know. Like, lately, though, I think with the sheer number of books that they're putting out, like Punisher being a perfect example, you know, that continuity doesn't tie into Thunderbolts at all, you know, and, but this also, you know, Punisher Warzone, that wasn't tying into any of the shit with Spider-Man, because that was actually old Peter Parker. You know, I know these stories were written before, but it's like, I really wish they would kind of get on a timeline. I mean, they obviously have these year-long meetings, or these yearly meetings where they sit down and talk about what they're going to do for the next year. How about you tie all this shit in so that it's, you know, it reveals the stories at the same proper time. So, yeah, I would agree.
Even but though, that's hard.
Yeah, why try? Yeah, so, no, but, like, cool. I'm glad you're picking it up because I'm interested enough to know what's going on, but this is, The galactic shit is not my bag. So, you know, I want to know what's happening, but I not enough to where... I mean, I'm spending enough money on comics right now. That's not really where I'm going to go with my cash.
Okay. Well, but you're missing out, but I will also tell you what's happening so that you're well informed.
Yeah, I'll pull a Tony and just read your comics. How about that? Works.
All right, let's talk about our newest segment, our cool cover art.
Our yet to be officially named segment, which, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention on Twitter and... Did we put anything on Facebook about it yet?
No.
We probably should.
Yeah,
just... We got one more week. Actually, by the time you hear this, it'll be less than a week. You've got till Friday at midnight Eastern Standard Time to
sounds get like your a threat.
Yeah, to get your submission in.
Yeah.
And if we choose your name or a variation of your name, because we might just, you know, twist it and...
Not choosing
it
at all.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, like if we end up coming up with something ourselves, because, you know, we're smart drunks. But if yours gets second place compared to what we pick, you're going to get a free custom cover of whatever character you want on a comic book from a friend of the show, artist Jay Shimko. Zero cost to you. He'll draw it. He'll send it to you. Because that's how Jay rolls. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's got secret passwords.
He does.
Give me my free shit,
bitch.
Gotta wait 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, you guys come see us at Motor City. We'll tell you that story later. But yeah, so come up with an idea for what the our segment for best cover art of the week should be.
And ultimately the segment is hell. Even if you guys see an awesome book cover, tell us about it.
Yeah, and you don't even have to read the book, just if you like the art.
Yeah, and we will, maybe something that we'll be like, we totally missed
our shop. We're gonna miss it because some of our lame comic book shops that we have up here, they're not carrying everything.
Yeah.
Well, your comic book shops, my comic book shop is the bomb.
Yeah, that's why, ours, that's why I was giving Tony googly eyes when I said that.
Yeah, it's like one of the few benefits to living an hour away from you guys. Yeah, dude, I've got the best fucking comic shop.
The comic book shop today or the other day pissed me off because I go in and what do I see? The comic books are fucking.
I would hope you'd see comic books.
Pulled over and bent.
No, that's inevitable. You'll see bent comic books. No, but you don't see the front of it. You see the back. I'm like, come on. Now I understand that's probably not the shopkeeper's fault. Some sort of douchey customer, but come on, it's Wednesday, motherfucker. You should be always checking your inventories and.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, you got the book that we voted on this week as the winner. What do you have?
Oh my God, you guys are calling me a winner?
I'm going to pop the top to that.
Oh.
Woo.
Thank God you just didn't pop your top as in you like your shirt.
Nobody wants to see that.
No.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, so I picked up Before Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan, book 4 of 4.
You got the variant cover.
Yeah, this is the apparently the fourth variant cover. I don't know. I just saw it. I just grabbed it.
Yeah,
because the cover looked pretty.
Well, and the cover is Bill Sienkiewicz. I looked in there to see who did the variant.
Yeah,
because I'm like, I know who. I recognize the art style, and I'm like, who did the variant? And yeah, Bill Sienkiewicz. Oh, yeah. He's fucking crazy good.
So describe the art to.
Okay, so it's just a head on shot of. Doctor, that guy.
The man in the title.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was written on the side of the book.
I couldn't read it. All I could see was the back of the cover.
And it's not him just of blue. It's just of a series of colors. And it almost looks like someone took the art and waved it real fast in front of your
actually,
face.
You know what it reminded me of, and I didn't want to say it because like I don't want to like I don't mean this in a negative way, but do you remember when you were a kid and like you'd go to like the fairs or whatever and they had that thing that spun the art
spin
around
art.
Yeah, spin art, and like you'd squeeze the different colored inks on there.
I have an idea what you're talking about.
That's kind of what it reminded me of a little bit, but like I didn't want to like
Yes, but the illusion for me is him kind of disintegrating and reincorporating. Like, it just, it looks like he's popping out of the cover, and it just, it's very badass.
Well, it's funny you say that, actually. That's, I think, this cover, I think, really does a nice summary. It tells a little bit of a story about this entire series, about him trying to do a little bit of a reconstruction of his life.
Hey, all I want to talk about is the cover. I don't give a fuck about the story. I will say on the cover art, though, I mostly did that just to fuck with you, by the way.
Yeah.
But the awesome use of white space on this cover. The art really is beautiful. So
it's cool. Good stuff. And hey, pick it up because it's a good story. It's a nice climax to this four issue miniseries.
We all love climaxes.
Not me. I don't like any of that kind of stuff.
I just cry at the end of them.
Derek, what do you got for the Indy Turnpike?
We want to jump Indy before
All
right. Indy Turnpike, if you are new to the show, awesome, thank you, welcome, joining, whatever, drinking. This is kind of our little spot where we highlight a book that's not from one of the big two, and kind of spread a little love to a comic that you may not have looked at, may have thought about, but decided, I don't know if I want to spend an extra $3, $4, $5 on whatever. This week, I picked up The Rocketeer Hollywood Horror, number one, another miniseries from IDW, and this is, sorry, I didn't make notes here. This one is done by, written by Roger Landridge. Art is by Jay Bone, and Jordy Belair is doing the colors on this. Tom B. Long is the letterer as well. So this book is, once again, an awesome Rocketeer story. If you're not familiar with the Rocketeer, you can jump right into this, which is kind of cool. But you've got you've got Cliff, you've got Betty, you got Peavy, they're all here. Now, the love story between Cliff and Betty is still as awesome and tempestuous as always, where he's split between trying to be the Rocketeer and satisfy this very gorgeous but also kind of needy woman who is very loving as well. You got the bad guys in here trying to get the rocket pack back, you know. And the real story here is, you know, that you've got Betty trying to go out and find out her roommate gets into trouble. Her roommate's a reporter out there getting the scoop on some stuff. Roommate gets into trouble. Betty can't get a hold of Peavy, so she starts to go track it down. And it's all about this kind of evil scientist guy named Otto Roon, who is like this public speaker that's...
I just love the name Otto. Like, that's, like, elicits, like, bad guy.
Dude, I always think of... When I always hear Otto, I always think of The Simpsons. And when he goes, "My name is Otto. I love to get blotto."
But, yeah, so, you see some stuff in here. He's kind of like this spiritual leader. He's kind of like this public speaker kind of thing. But, really, he's like this mad scientist.
Is he a Nazi?
He kind of looks Nazi-ish.
I didn't. I wasn't aware that Nazi guys had a particular look to him.
Well, like, I mean, he's got that.
They have like a symbol and the mustache.
He's got the little round glasses with the bald head, you know. And it's 1939.
Is he like that? That one evil guy from
Everything.
I'm thinking Indiana Jones and
the
Lost Ark.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah, kind of like that. But you know, it's a fun. It's good campy fun, I guess, is probably the way that I would describe it. Now, the art in this is actually kind of a cross between cartoonish and pinup, I guess, is maybe the way that I would describe it.
Pinup, hey.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, and a lot of that has to do with the fact of the time era that it's drawn in, but like some of the guys, like the little worker guys, they're definitely cartoony looking. And for people that had read the last miniseries, which was The Rocketeer and the Cargo of Doom, don't expect the same style of art that you had in that one from Chris Samnee to this, because that assumption would be completely wrong. The styles of these two artists are really, really different. However, Jordi Belair did the colors on both of them. Once again, she's fantastic in her coloring work. And that's one of the things that kind of gives the same feel to those stories, even with different writers and different artists. She's managed to kind of keep the same mood going from one to the next. I love these like late 30s, early 40s era comics. It allows for a very unique dialogue. Also allows you to have a little bit more fun with things where if it was put in today's time, you wouldn't be able to have this Dark Lord creepy tentacle monster at the end of it that, as I flip to the back and I see My Little Pony, but you wouldn't be able to have this Dark Lord tentacle monster that Rune is trying to bring forth to take over Hollywood. You know, that if that was done in today's time, you'd be like, yeah, fuck that. That's not working. But for some reason, when it's in this era, you can have a little bit more, you know, a little bit more leverage in able to do that. So it's a good book. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend going and picking it up. And even if you've never read The Rocketeer before, this is a great spot to just jump on. You know, it's nice and light and fun. And it's kind of a nice little change from some of the darker shit that I read.
When I saw you pull it out, I thought it said Rocket Raccoon at first. And I thought, yes!
No.
But no!
No. Yeah, that wouldn't fall within the on the indie turn.
I know. Well, I didn't know you were going to review it. I just saw Rocket, and I'm like, Derek has come to the dark side.
No, not yet. Not yet. So, but yeah, go check this book out. I enjoyed it.
All right, let's start some news and notes. All Derek, right. What do you got?
Well, before we start it, news and notes once again brought to you by Inter Comics. It's inter-comics.com. They are a great source for all of your comic book needs. You can find them online, like I said, inter-comics.com. They are a UK-based retailer, but don't worry, they ship worldwide. So check them out. Plus, they got a lot of cool blogs and kind of little reviews and stuff on there, too. So news, though, what do I have? I've got... This is something that pisses me off.
I know it pisses you off when you pause and go...
Well, there's a couple things that piss me off. People that say Merca, that
we haven't said it. Well, we weren't going to say it in this podcast, but you brought it up.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah,
I that's been on my tongue like the whole podcast. You know that we never did that.
What, the spoiler alert?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, spoiler alert.
Read your comic books, yada yada.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. So that something that pisses me off more than the "What has two thumbs and pisses this guy off" comic, because I hate that "What has two thumbs." Anyway, they're talking about bringing back the Crow still. And now the actor that's rumored to be starring in it is James McAvoy. And I got nothing against any of the actors. Like, I mean, they said Bradley Cooper at one point. They said Mark Wahlberg at one point. Fucking leave it alone. Just don't. Don't make this movie. The first one was great. You're not going to do it justice, because people that love that movie have never read the book and don't realize there's a big difference between the book and the movie.
Okay, well, are you upset then that they've brought back the book?
Oh, no, well, they haven't brought back the book. They just keep telling new Crow stories.
But still, shouldn't you let the Crow rest / stay dead? Like, are you okay with the continuation?
You know, here's the thing. If they want to do a new Crow story with a different character that's not Eric, fine. But don't reboot the movie. They haven't rebooted the original comic book. They just keep telling new Crow stories.
Okay, I feel you there, because I am 100% agreeance of that movie was beautifully done.
Yeah.
They changed a few things from the book, but when you see the transition to movies, you got to know there's certain things that don't necessarily translate so well. You can't get everything in depth from a book or a comic book.
Well, and there were some things that they scrapped because either it didn't work as well, but there were also some things that they scrapped, like the Skeleton Cowboy bringing Eric back from the grave, that they felt was just in poor taste because of Brandon Lee dying, and they didn't think that it was proper to show that on screen.
And so even then, though, the movie by itself told the story. There's a few things that were different, but it was beautifully done.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs a reboot.
Like, no.
Rise of the Silver Surfer needs to have a reboot. This can stay alone and let it be.
Yeah. Daredevil, reboot it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, to me, it's, I don't know, it just... Just
who,
fucking leave it
who's
alone.
Who's asking for this movie? That's what I don't get.
Hollywood execs that want to cash in on something quick and cheap that they don't have to put a lot of work
but
into.
But I don't think the first movie, did it actually do gangbusters?
Way more money than they put into it. Because this was, yeah. I mean, it was pretty damn low budget. And it's unfortunate, but it gained a lot of people's attention because Brandon Lee's death. Mm. You know,
I think Hollywood's just running out of ideas.
Oh, they have pretty much run out of them.
Yeah,
which is why they keep going to comic books, because that's where the last ideas are. They've raped every book off the shelf that they can of novels. Now they have to go look for something else.
Did you see Hansel and Gretel?
No. So anyway, so that one pissed me off. So I'm done with my rant there.
Something that we talked about last night with the. Of the Dead, the Marvel last week.
Yeah.
Time traveling a bit.
Yeah, Marvel of the Dead, their teaser.
Yeah, and of course we were thinking, you know, it's got to be zombies.
Zombies, oh yeah.
Well, George A. Romero is now on top of that project. So, obviously right there, his name is synonymous with not The Walking Dead, but with zombies.
Yeah, he's not. His name is not synonymous.
Yes, but The Walking...
I can't even say that word.
Yeah, but Walking Dead is synonymous with zombies, so that's where I was going. But, yeah. Anyway, so he's going to be writing it. It's still the plot secret. Don't know if it's going to involve the Marvel zombie universe or if it's just going to be a standalone book, you know, in the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see because his name attached to it means it's going to be a good story at least.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Any other last thoughts on the dead?
The dead?
The dead. What we just talked about.
Oh, I'll check it out. I like George A. Romero.
I'll check it out. Hopefully, it'll be a Marvel title that I'll enjoy.
Other Marvel news.
Oh, dude, I'm so fucking pumped. Fucking the return.
Oh, wait, not yet.
I gotta contain my excitement.
Yeah, there's another Marvel teaser we gotta tie in first.
Fuck, dude. Is every goddamn week gonna be another fucking teaser?
I hope so.
God.
It's gonna be a teaser, but then they're gonna also. They tease you the story, but then they break the big fucking thing that's gonna happen in the book, like. Days before.
Yeah. Well, there were two teasers that came out this week from Marvel. One is a number one, but the one is
first
made
post.
Up, yeah, first ease. Yeah, the one is it's a number one with a whole bunch of names in there that make up the number one, and then the other one is just a whole bunch of little hash marks, and there's 52 of them. So it's like
that's interesting.
It's like, huh? What are these about? We don't know. Hopefully they aren't rebooting the whole fucking thing, but...
Though I'm very curious to know, because I'm looking at this poster, it's big number one with characters written inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, I'm interested to read more about these new characters, Black Human and Panther Torch. Who are those guys going to be?
It's the way you guys got to go look at this. The way it's written, you've got Black Panther and Human Torch above each other. But yeah.
Okay.
Black Human and Panther Torch, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on what these are going to be?
I don't know. I really don't, because it's like they aren't going to reboot Daredevil.
I don't see them rebooting. I see them, though, going back and redoing origin stories and tweaking them a bit. They're not going to reboot them, but they're going to go back and retell that first Hulk story.
Well, what if... This is the tie-in for what if. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, I know. Fuck you guys. Kevin, talk about
obviously Kevin can contain his excitement because he's like, eh. Yeah.
So talk about what you're excited about, Kevin.
Well, I'm not so much excited now because you told me to fuck off.
Oh, well.
You hurt my feelings.
Unfuck yourself.
Now I'm trying to figure out how I could do that. The return of What If.
Yes.
Now you guys know how big of a fan of What If I was. I mean, fuck it. I've the first 5 or 10 episodes was Kevin's What If segment. I've been going to these conventions. I pick up some What Ifs. I had no idea that they publish. So to me, it hasn't really stopped too much because I'm just picking up new issues or the old issues, and it seems new to me. But it actually seems like they're going to be doing this on a routine basis now.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Which I am a little bit because.
Ooh.
Because I mean I love the old Marvel stuff because What Ifs basically were from the 90s, but
not the 80s too.
80s and 70s, but
not the 20s.
Not the odds.
But you guys know I was out of comic books for a long period of time. I'm not really getting into this to the Marvel universe.
But don't you think, What If is a good way to kind of tell you about a story that you didn't even know about?
And you know what? And you're absolutely right. And that's why I actually know. Maybe the What If series is maybe that's why it's going to bring me back into the Marvel universe. Because actually reading the older What Ifs made me interested in some of the stories I never read as they came out, like in this article brought to us by Bleeding Cool, they had the cover of What If Elektra Had Lived. Well,
and you're like, what? Elektra's dead?
Yeah, exactly. Who's it? Who's Elektra?
What if she had lived?
Yeah, he's got his. I think he's got his ass on her ass cheek.
His hand on her ass. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm like,
he's copping a feel.
Yeah. So actually, I remember picking this up in the 92 and. Actually, from there, I ended up picking up some issues of Daredevil.
Yeah, good for you.
So
it's the best book out there.
I haven't picked up anything recently. So you're congratulating 13-year-old me?
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm excited about that one.
It's one of the easiest and best things to pick up when you're going through your old bins, though, because you're always trying to find that one book that will complete your set. But you'll run into these where you can just pick them up randomly. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know the whole story arc. They're usually... There's been a couple where it was a to-be-continued, but those are few and far between.
Yeah, what if Magneto took over the USA?
Yes. Okay. that one right there is exactly what I was thinking of.
That, see, and the problem is I can only find issue like the second part, so I've never picked it up because if I can't get the first part, it's not worth it.
But anyway, so these are something that I usually go to conventions and you will usually pick up like 4 or 5 of them because they're interesting. They're thoughts of any fanboy of what if this had happened and to see. So I'm quite excited about that, just as much as Kevin.
Yeah, no, I am too. Other new title publishing news, IDW is going to bring some Cartoon Network comics to print. Samurai Jack, Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Laboratory, Ben 10. That's the kind of stuff that they're talking about.
I love all those shows. I still do.
You know, I actually have...
Ben 10?
Actually, that's... Okay. Out of all those, that's a little more of the newer kid one. It's a fucking badass show, though.
Powerpuff Girls, I gotta admit, I fucking love that. And actually, I've got the first handful of issues of Powerpuff that I thought DC put out years ago.
Yeah, because I think there was something that was put out.
Oh, I know there was. I mean, I think I've got the first 3 issues.
I love Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, I just fucking love Powerpuff Girls, man.
This is, and like we've said before, IDW has been picking up a lot of, what would you call them? Rights to
licensed,
yeah, a lot of licensed stuff. Titles.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping these pick up and there's people that will get them. I obviously can't pick up all of them. Samurai Jack jumps out that I'm going to convince my brother to buy so that I don't have to buy it, but...
I'll probably pick up a few Powerpuff, I gotta admit. Yeah. You know. Other movie news. Tony, I'm pretty sure you're happy about this. The Hobbit's getting pushed back. The third Hobbit movie.
Yeah, this is such fucking movie corporate bullshit fucking shit.
Well, so apparently the rumor mill is that the Hobbit decided to go back to, like, the Christmassy time release.
Yeah, which makes... just that alone, to me, makes sense. I mean, yeah, the fans of these movies, yeah, they want to see them sooner, but it makes sense because all those movies...
All the Lord of the Rings, it was Christmas the next year.
But those are big epic movies, and this is the same shit that happened with.
These aren't big epic movies?
Oh, you're throwing down Hobbit smack.
But they're split up into three movies. Well, even with. Well, I don't think that. These are filmed at the same time, I should say. The other ones had to have a year in between actually writing, where this is going to be shot at the same time, so it can go from a Christmas to a summer.
They filmed The Lord of the Rings all at the same time. They talked about that because teenage boys...
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, so give me a better excuse.
same bullshit that they've been doing for a couple years. They started with Harry Potter when Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows was supposed to come out summer, winter. And what did they decide to do? They decided to... And I think it's more or less to get fans to realize, I'm going to split this up into multiple parts, but to let you guys know you only have to wait 6 months in between. Fans are like, that's cool, I can see it 6 months and 6 months later. And then what do? They pull this bullshit where, just kidding, we're going to make you wait a whole another 6 months to watch that last part of this movie.
Yeah, but it's a good move because they want to maximize the dollars that are going to be brought in. You release
fuck your dollars! They would still pull in the same amount in the summer.
But that's what the whole point of this is for them, is to make money.
Then why the fuck don't they say that to begin with?
Well, because as soon as X-Men Days of Future Past said, we're coming out in summer, they're like,
Why would X-Men go up against them?
Fanboys like both, Tony, and some fanboys like you only spend so much money on certain things. And unless you're getting...
No, but wouldn't that be dumb on the X-Men's part to be like, I'm going to go up against this huge fucking Peter Jackson movie that is a cash cow? No, I'm not buying that bullshit.
I think that Marvel just had the bigger balls and said, we'll win. But... You know, fanboys are going to... Now, I personally think it's a smarter move, and I think that they should have just said Christmas, 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 each one.
That's what I'm saying, but they got my fucking hopes up, only to crush them.
You didn't get to climax.
No. So I'm going to wait.
Now he's going to cry like Kevin.
All right. Stop it, guys.
One correction... We kind of
there's no errors or omissions in this podcast, Derek. So no, I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about.
Every once in a while, we misspeak, and I hope it goes unnoticed. But we got called out. So
what did you do this time?
I didn't. Batwoman is not Barbara Gordon. It's Kate Kane, or Kathy Kane. Sorry.
Who?
Candy Kane.
Kate Kane. No, it is Kate Kane, not Kathy Kane.
In what?
In Batwoman. Batgirl is Barbara Gordon.
Okay.
I thought we corrected ourselves, but whatever. I mean, we'll give some love out to the listener who called us out.
We're just predicting the future. Batgirl will become Batwoman, so we know eventually Barbara Gordon.
She's gonna
blossom. So eventually, Barbara Gordon will become a different person.
He's inferring that Batgirl's gonna get her period.
Oh.
That's what he's suggesting.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, so we fuck up every once in a while. We drink a lot.
But... Yeah. No, I encourage people to call us out more.
Okay. Last thing I've got, awesome news. Eventually we're all going to be mutants. Like in 30 years. According to
to every fucking fanboy's wish.
The Ministry of Defense think tank in the UK. They said that human augmentation is likely to increase over the next 30 years, and that we're going to basically become X-Men.
You know, one power I would like to have? Remember that one mutant? His whole ability was to learn languages real fast.
Cypher.
Yeah,
that would be that guy.
I want to be the girl on that TV show that touched her fingers together and stopped time.
I love that show.
What was that show?
I don't remember.
As a kid, I always wanted to get x-rays. I wanted to break my arm, get x-rays, because I thought that'd give me mutant powers. And then we're not. And it's still in the back of my mind now that I'm getting x-rays every now and then, well, for my arm that's busted. I'm thinking, God, this will only turn me into cancer, man.
Yeah, so if you guys were, like, thinking about it, like, you know, as soon as these, like, genetic augmentations happen, you should start doing it if you want to, like, you know, have
so, adamantium. So where is this research brought to you by?
By the letter O.
Imagination.
And the number 13. Yeah, no, it was... I don't like it. It was the scientists in the UK.
Okay, so this is a scientist.
Yes, and it's what it says. And I'm getting this from the Hindustan Times.
The who?
Hindustan Times.
Okay.
And this came out of London. Apparently, I don't know where the press release exactly came from, but it says scientists told the Ministry of Defense think tank.
I'm going to start my own blog and start sending Derek links from this blog. Did you know that people can see through walls now?
Yeah.
And Derek believes anything on the internet. Said Abraham Lincoln.
I wonder if this is related to all the report that I read this morning, or where they said, oh, we found these tadpoles with eyes in their butts. I mean tails. Tails, not butts.
Yeah, that's fine because they'll fall off later. All right, that's all. Tony, do you have any other news?
I have one thing, but we don't need to discuss it. Some guy named Robin is deceased, but...
All right, that's it. We can't discuss it. So
Damian Wayne?
Yeah.
Well, if there was more to talk about, I would talk about it, but
there really isn't.
He's comic book...
What do you got for he's
comic
book?
Comic book dead?
I don't even care. Okay, I will talk about it briefly. I bought it. I hadn't bought any Batman ink prior to that. There was no emotion drawn out of me in the death of Damien. It was just kind of anticlimactic. I was like, okay.
So say they're gonna kill him off with, like, that sounds like a big story arc thing. Yep, yep.
That's the only thing why I was excited about this. It was the first time there's been a death that you didn't know about it until they broke the news a couple days before.
Yeah.
I think on Monday or something, they broke it that, oh, this is going to be happening, which was interesting, and I thought an awesome move to not have a huge fucking story arc of death in the family Joker and thinking someone's going to die. That was actually different that no one did die when it has the word fucking death in the family. And then to just have this come out of nowhere, I thought could have been an awesome story. But the story just kind of flopped.
Well, you know, It wasn't a total flop. I mean, I think it's because I hadn't read anything else in the series before, so I really didn't know what the storyline was. I mean, Damian did die as a hero, I guess, but it's just like, oh, okay.
Well, this is the thing with his character, Superman, you know, Wolverine, all these other people, you know, they die. His fucking dad owns the Lazarus Pits, the thing that can fucking reincarnate you and have you come back from the dead. So do you really think this person's going to be dead out of any character you can kill? He's probably the one where you got to scratch your head being like, well, fucking, he's got his resurrection spell typecast right into his
grip. Yeah, but I hope it's kind of like Pet Cemetery and he basically comes back like a little Joker. So, all right. Booze in a book this week. I did Doctor Who, Prisoners of Time, 2 of 12, paired with a Newcastle Founders Ale, which is a pale ale with a 4.8% alcohol by volume. Now, pale ales tend to put people off a little bit at times because
they're fucking nasty.
Well, they can be really overly hoppy. They can be disgustingly bitter, you know. And this ale, this pale ale, actually has a very light hop flavor to it. It's not bitter. It's just a really great beer. And when I drank it, like, I was about halfway through my first one, and I was like, this is an ale. And then I looked and it said pale ale. And I was like, huh, I never would have considered it a pale ale. But now Doctor Who, similarly for at least people like me, always put me off a little bit because I never really knew where to start. So both the beer and the book are perfect examples of a great way to get into pale ales and get into Doctor Who without having to be like scared. I mean, they're both smooth as hell. Grab the issue. And actually go back and grab the first issue as well if you can. Kick back with a couple Newcastle Founders Ales and enjoy. I mean, they're really accessible to everybody. especially people that wanted to try either one of either the title or a pale ale. And actually, I think they're going to be good for people that are fans of both too. So there you go. That's booze in a book.
All right.
Last call.
Uncanny X-Men and Uncanny Avengers.
And since we're on the Uncanny X-Force.
Oh yeah, that was also pretty good.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I just have to say the best quote I read of anything that just made me laugh was Uncanny X-Men or Magic Ghosts. No, I would break you.
Dude, there were so many good quotes in Uncanny X-Force. I mean, like, Uncanny X-Force, if you guys, like, if you're old school fans of X-Men like me, like the Chris Claremont era, you need to be reading Uncanny X-Force. Like, if you can only afford one book and it's you're choosing between Uncanny X-Men and Uncanny X-Force, I'd tell you, if you're fans of the old school shit like I am, buy Uncanny X-Force.
I'd say buy Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, but did you read all the Claremont shit?
No.
Then exactly. Astonishing X-Men number 59 was cool. Avengers Spider-Man number 17 had some interesting shit in it. Did you read this one, Tony?
Mm-mm.
People from the future, like that take care of like the time space continuum. They're like the time space police.
Yeah.
They came back, and they're like, all right, yeah, so we're here because this is going to happen, and you're Spider... Oh, you're... And they know that Spider-Man is Doc Ock. And before the guy can actually say it, because he's babysitting all the Future Foundation kids, before he can say anything, Spider-Man shoots webs over his mouth. So he can't say anything. Deathmatch, number 3 from Boom Studios. This is... like the best battle royale book out there. It's fucking crazy good. Just for Kevin, The Answer.
The Answer, man.
Yeah.
Coming back.
The Answer, number 2 of 4. Good book. This is a lot of fun. Deadpool Killustrated. I toyed with whether I was going to pick it up because I had such a big stack this week. I'm glad I did. You know, it was fun. And I think that pretty much does it for last call for me.
Oh yeah, I picked up this book called Action Comics number 1. I just got it, and it's a pretty good read.
Yeah, like the out of the quarter bin.
I'm just kidding. Even out of the quarter bin, that's still worth money.
It came from the quarter bin. So, so check us out on Twitter. By the way, reminder: if you haven't done it already, go give us a submission for a name for our cover art segment. You could get yourself a free custom sketch cover.
Or come check out all of our witty, funny pictures that we scour the web for on Facebook and like and share it amongst your friends. Tell your friends to check us out. We're trying to get a little bit more involved on the Facebook side to ask you guys that aren't on the Twitterverse some questions about comics, what you thought, and ultimately get you guys to listen a little bit more to what we got to say.
We have stuff to say.
Are we saying it right now? How long is this pause going to go for?
I couldn't keep it in. So check us out there. Also check us out, drunkoncomics.com. We got lots of cool shit there as well. And so I think that's pretty much it for this week. Unless anybody else has anything that they need to...
I'm set.
You're set?
Hey.
You drank your beer, you had your coffee enema?
Actually, I've been enjoying my coffee so much that I haven't... check on this beer yet.
Well, I think you're going to have to now. So, all right, guys. I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
Oh, sorry. Kevin. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi-bye.
All right. On behalf of all of us here at Drunk on Comics, keep reading those comic books. We'll be back again next week to talk to you about them then. See you guys.
What? Spoiler alert. Drilling.